are going to share the message this morning, and I can't think of anybody I would rather share the podium with. So, Jeff, have a seat.
You all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I did a little bit of work and gravity took over. It is hard to believe it has been this long. But Jeff, do you remember the 1984 original Karate Kid movie?
Yes.
You know, how many of you remember that movie? See, that was when... Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one.
Daniel LaRusso is being bullied by a gang. They practice a form of martial art called Cobra Kai. That's a very vicious and a very unethical form of karate. And one day, Mr. Miyagi, remember Mr. Miyagi, intervenes and saves him from five attackers. And after that, Daniel starts training with Mr. Miyagi. And at first, it was just to learn how to defend himself and to hold his own against all the bullies. But as the training and the bullying continues, the training turns to preparing for the All-Valley Karate Tournament, where he can face the bullies on equal terms. Remember?
Oh.
Daniel's training, however, starts with menial chores and eventually causes him to believe that he's being used by Mr. Miyagi just as a slave. You remember those chores?
Yes, it's what you do around the office for me and Marcia every day. Yeah.
Ouch. Ouch.
Marcia's not disagreeing, though. She's over there.
Come on, Marcia, stand up for me. You remember those chores? What were some of those?
The wax off.
Wax on.
Yeah, paint the fence.
Paint the
side to side.
Paint the house.
I'm not going to get down, but sand the floors.
Sand the floors. Yeah. And in the midst of his frustration, the Karate Kid didn't know that what Mr. Miyagi was teaching him was karate defensive moves through muscle memory, not just how to wash and wax his classic car.
There were some nice cars, though.
Yeah, there really were. Now, remember that. The training was to prepare him. Over the last 3 years, our church family, and what a blessing, many people around the country, our families and friends and acquaintances who've moved away. Jim, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but I'm not sure you all did this. You didn't love us that much. But I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I love you guys.
Patrick can mute him. I can't. Sorry.
Yeah. But a lot of family and friends around the country joined us in our two studies. In August of 2013, we began a 30-week journey through the story. You remember the story? It was a 30-week journey through the Bible, not book by book, but taking a trip through the Bible in chronological order. It put a lot of things in perspective for us. And I think most of all, we came away with an understanding of God's story, His upper story, and how from the foundation of the earth, He had a story, and how that story has unfolded right on cue, right in time, as the Scripture says, even about Jesus, when the time was right, it all came to be. And His story goes just like this. Which leaves us with the wonderful hope and news that it's not finished yet. And if you've read the end of the story, you know how it ends. We win. And it's a-coming.
Yep.
It's a-coming. And then we recently followed that. This past September, we began another journey through this 30-week study called Believe.
Yeah, and this one, It was nice because it divided it into three 10-week lessons, and examining the first 10 core beliefs of the Scriptures. And then after we took our time with those 10, then we learned to look at 10 things to help us live those beliefs through the 10 core practices. And then this spring, We've been working and studying and praying and analyzing together the beliefs and the 10 core virtues in our lives and how that affects us. In other words, what we believe matters, folks. And what we do matters. They matter because they indicate the type of people that we are every day becoming, that we are growing to be. The goal of this journey has been to help us to act like, think like, and be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
As we've journeyed through the God's upper story, we've discovered God wants us to become like who?
Jesus.
Jesus, right? Become like Jesus Christ.
The scripture she just read this morning.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians.
Right on. As if we planned that, but we mm-hmm. didn't. So thank you. But while we're here on earth, God wants us all, wants you to get ready for heaven. And He wants us, you, to grow in character. And He wants us to grow spiritually.
Jeff, Romans 8, verses 29 and 30 is a great verse when you understand it. Now, I'll explain that. The NIV reads those verses like this. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those He predestined, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. Now, did I lose anybody yet? Malusia and all of that? That's almost King James right there, isn't it? See if this helps you. The message reads like this. God knew what He was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. The Son stands first in the line of humanity He restored. We see the original and intended shape for our lives there in Him. After God made that decision of what His children should be like, He followed it up by calling His people by name. After He called them by name, He set them on a solid basis with Himself. And then, after getting them established, He stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what He had begun. Did you get that? He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love Him along the same lines as the life of His Son. He decided from the outset that if we love Him and want to follow Him, He wants to help us to act, to think, to be like His Son, Jesus.
Wow. You know, and when we completed our journey through the story, the first book we read, when I started it, I asked you to answer the question, and some of you may still have them. So what?
So what?
So what? Well, today, Pastor David and I want to hear from you. We'd like to know and would like you to share what differences this journey through Believe has made to you. What has it made in your life, in your spiritual walk? If you go to your bulletin, you'll see on the back of the sermon notes, there's the 30 lessons, the three sections of 10 on the back there. They're all there. And we can, if you want to use those to help you figure your thoughts out, that'd be great. But we want to start by looking at those first 10 core beliefs.
Now, before we do that, Patrick, do we have that other handheld mic? Can we fire that up? We could try, right? And Paul, you're looking young and spry this morning. Will you be our Ed McMahon and kind of run that around the audience for us as people share? If we can get that to work. If not, then you'll just have to shout out real loud. Like
maybe that's how we should get all our volunteers. Just ask them. They don't
just
want to
ask
say
them.
No.
That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah.
Who have we not caught on for a while?
Yeah, who do we need?
I see Jeffers back there.
Yeah, yeah. He's smiling big.
Yeah, he is. He says, oh, no, man, don't do this.
Don't call me.
You do know that's why people are so nice to us, because they know we will use you as a sermon illustration. By the way, while they're doing that, I was talking to our young comedian over there, Joe Young, this morning, and that's the wrong. That's the one. That's the one.
No, that was good.
What do you mean that was good?
Oh, I'm sorry. Was that cutting you off? I thought that was cutting me. Oh, I'm sorry.
And I asked him, he said, here on Lake of the Woods Road, do you know why the chicken crossed the road? Yeah, to show the squirrel it could be done. I'm just kidding. That's terrible, isn't it?
You didn't write that one down, while they're working
on that, go ahead, Jeff. Tell them what we want them to do.
Okay.
We're thanking first, you said, about those
the ten core beliefs that we cover, the first 10 weeks. Think back to September and as we've gone through. And we want you to look at those and tell us how that study, those 10, how it helped you with those beliefs. Did it make you stronger in your beliefs? Did it just help explain them in a way, or one particular one? Maybe you hadn't looked at eternity in a certain way, or stewardship, or the Bible in a certain way. And how it opened maybe your mind or challenged you. Maybe you were challenged in a particular area, still challenged in a particular area. Sharing with one another, it doesn't call out where we're lacking or where we need help. It calls it out so that we can help each other. And guess what? Where you're struggling, someone else is struggling too. Maybe not with the same side of a belief or the same part of a belief, but they're struggling. And we don't need to hide from one another with our struggles. We need to work through them together. And that's what this is about. And we definitely want to hear about anything that it's led you down a certain path, or some great stories about it, because we could sit here and go over scriptures with you, but hearing your stories is what's going to make the difference today. So we definitely want you to share, but specifically about those core beliefs. So if anybody had anything about the core beliefs,
give us the ABCs there.
Raise your hand. We'd love to hear about it.
Paul, give us an ABC. Let's
test. 1, 2, test. Hey. Test.
There you go. All right.
Thank you, Patrick.
Somebody, just the beliefs there.
Just
anybody have
beliefs.
Something you want to share about? Because, man, we spent 10 weeks on that. Did it make any difference? What difference has it made for you? Strengthened? Affirmed?
Oh.
Made you question?
What it did was reinforce what I already knew on those particular sections. And I think, in my opinion, the message on salvation was one of the best sermons I've ever heard on salvation. And I would encourage anyone who didn't hear it to go back and listen to it, because it made it personal, which we got from the personal God. So we were leading up to that.
Right.
But it made it even more personal, and it really strengthened that peace and security that I have from those core beliefs.
Thank you. What else? Anybody?
Right there in the other front row.
I guess I'm in the talkative mood today. I like the personal God and the salvation ones as well, because, you know, when you look at the vastness of the universe, and it's hard to even fathom how magnificent our God is to create everything. And yet, you know, he knows the number of hairs on my head, you know, and knows me personally, and loves me. I don't know. It just amazed me. I just really appreciated those two. Well, they were all good, but I don't know. Just brought that down to a more, like it says, personal level for me.
Okay. Thank you.
I wanted to, but Paul and I were just talking about it this morning.
Can you turn them up a little bit?
Paul and I were just talking about it this morning, about what it meant to us going through the series. But on a personal level, the virtues, the 10 virtues, were very good, because...
Now, we'll get to the virtues.
Oh, you want me to...
We're talking the beliefs right now.
Okay.
Well, we'll come back to you.
We will come back to you.
Write that down, Norma, virtues.
Write it down so you don't forget it. I've had several share with me, going from God to personal God, what a giant step that was. Because If you ask folks in America, I think an overwhelming majority believe in God. But where is God to the overwhelming majority? Yeah. Out there in the cosmos somewhere. And even when we pray, we count on some angels or somebody to take our prayers out there to God. And He's, you know, the God of the universe. And it's great to have that concept and understanding of God. But then what you just said, Carol, to find out that that God of the cosmos is so personal that I can call Him Daddy. And He calls me His child. So that has hit a lot of people that way. Yeah. And if you don't know God personally, that's where your belief system needs to be challenged to start with, I would think.
It went in order. That's why we started with God. Yeah.
Anybody else on beliefs? What you got next there, Jim?
Well, we got the 10 core practices, the worship, prayer, Bible study, single-mindedness, all those. And we'd like to know what kind of differences those studies have made in your life, or maybe just how you approach your daily walk or your getting up in the morning, going to work. How has that changed or affected your life?
Now, how does what you believe affect your day-to-day? Let me put it in this perspective. Have you ever heard, because I know nobody's ever said this to you, we're all pretty near perfect. But have you ever heard anyone say to someone who has done something very out of order, say to them, "I thought you were a Christian"? Or, "Is that how a Christian acts? Is that how a Christian is supposed to talk?" You see what I'm saying? So if you believe these things, how is it affecting, has it affected you in these areas of your outward living life, showing it forth to others? Carl? Y'all be thinking about that. We need a little more sharing. We'd like to know that 30 weeks of this has made at least some impact.
You tell me when to stop talking, but I think the part on sharing my faith, I just turned 66, and so I know I've got only maybe 50 more years to live. Somewhere in there is going to happen. But I remember a preacher a long time ago saying that when he went to heaven, he wanted to take as many people with him. So there's people I run into every day that I know, and I think I'm more apt to say to him now that God loves you, even in your worst time that you're in right now. I don't know want to call these folks homeless. I meet, but people that are struggling to get from day to day, and I'm more open to plant that seed. I know I can plant it. Somebody else can water it. Somebody else can make the sun shine. Somebody else can bring him to Christ, and I'm tickled about it.
And you know, this side of glory, we may not know how many seeds we've planted along the way have taken root. But it won't take root if somebody doesn't plant it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's true.
And sharing your faith, that means you have to go off to seminary and stand up in the pulpit somewhere and preach. Just your simple day-to-day sharing of your life with others. Barbie and I were very fortunate. We took a break yesterday after a lot of stuff and went out to lunch. And our little server at the restaurant, in fact, ran into Steve Comer and his mom. But the little server at our table, we did what we always do. We mentioned to her, said, "Bailey, we're going to have prayer here in a moment, and we'd love to pray for you. Would you like for us to pray for you?" And she said, "Oh, would you?" And we said, "Absolutely. Is there anything in particular?" And she started sharing with us how she's made a real big decision in her life. And so we had prayer for her. And then later when she came back around, we told her, said, "Nan, you just prepare for the best year of your life because we just turned you over to the Lord." And she just smiled so big. And then, of course, that opened the door with, you know, "Are you from here? Do you have a church home?" Et cetera. So just something simple like that. We were in Branson, as I said, this last week. And one of the girls... Tawny, if you want to remember that name, Tawny, is at a point in her life where she said, "I just had to get back to the Lord, and I need you to pray that I can let go of some of my past." And you could tell she was really struggling with this getting back and trying to find a good Bible church there in Branson, etc. But it's encouraging to people. And my prayer now is she will stay with that, you know, that she'll find that Bible preaching, teaching church, and that those seeds will continue to grow. So, yeah, just sharing your faith.
Got Mr. Cornwell in there.
I just wanted to see how fast Paul could get it over here. No, the biblical community.
The biblical community.
We need to be reminded every once in a while that we're just part of millions of people that are worshiping the same God this morning.
Yes.
Well, around the world all day today.
Yeah.
And that we need to remember that we're part of a very, very large family of Christians.
Yes.
Yeah, we are a big family.
And Kendra, you and your family is a great reminder of that. The miles and the years and all of the events have not separated us in Christ. And I know they never will. We're always happy to see family back. You got another one?
Rhonda.
Several times I've asked God to move me from the school I'm in because it has the unique challenges it has. I think with all of these practices, it has reminded me, one, that in those challenges, I draw closer to Him.
Mm-hmm.
Two, He has put me there because my mission field is not only the children I interact with, but the adults that are there as well.
Yeah. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Tom, over here. If we had planned ahead, Paul would have gotten you one of those segues.
Many years ago, I was in the Urbana Association of Commerce office. There was a sign on the wall that said, "What one does for themselves dies with them. What one dies for their community lives forever."
Amen.
And for many years, I was the check writer for the Freedom Celebration in Champaign, Urbana. Mm-hmm. And that was part of my community service. But I want to say something about parents, because my mother and father were community servants, and it was a great example to my sister and I. And through our adult years, we have worked in our communities in one fashion or another. And, of course, I believe that the church is indeed the foundation of the community.
So an offering time.
The church is the basis on which we believe and serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. Yes.
Offering our time.
I would have to say Bible study. You know, I'm a member of, I'm not a crackpot, but I'm a member of the cracked pot. And we found out we can still be of service, and that we have grown to be strong and courageous and many other things through that Bible study. And it's encouraged us to increase our personal Bible study and allowed us to learn more about compassion and using our spiritual gifts.
Great.
Awesome.
Got another one up front here. Let me look over here. You guys don't.
I'm looking at the Bible study part of this, and just in Romans, it says, "Do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And the way we do that is to be in God's Word. And I've not always been as much time spent studying, and I've found to do that more and more and do less TV. But the impact I can feel in my life is that my mind is renewed because of God's Word.
Mm-hmm. Mike, in the back. By the way, right behind you there, Mike Cox. Last week when they placed membership, I forgot we may need to reconsider Mike Cox's joining our family. I think it'll be okay, but I think we've reached our quota of mics, haven't we? Do we have room for another mic? I'm sure. No quota in the biblical community, the preacher's wife said kindly and gently. Mike?
What spoke volumes and what I've taken as a personal challenge is prayer. the prayer, I think, and growing up, it was always on your knees, kneeling down and praying, Almighty God. And I couldn't use words flowery enough to talk with the Lord. And then you come to a point in your life and you realize the Lord doesn't necessarily want that. He just wants you to talk to Him. And so I've taken it as a, and I talk to Him 100 times a day, my friend, and it's conversations. Oh, Lord, how'd you do that? That's outstanding. Or, Lord, can you help this person or that person? Put your arm around them and give them some help and give them some courage and help change their life. What we've also heard today was, yeah, I would like to bring others with me. I don't want to just go by myself. Mm-hmm. And it's a matter of invitations. Ask somebody to come, and they'll almost always go where they're invited to go. And I can't think of any better place than with the Lord. And one more point is in the prayers, there has to be a time for us to say thanks. That's a given.
Absolutely.
But the second is we have to listen to what the Lord's conversation with us is. And many times, some of us, and I know I always am involved as well, the Lord will answer our prayers and we would ignore Him or not recognize. But I think the Holy Spirit helps us do that.
So. Amen. Thank you, brother. Who else? Anybody?
All the way over here? While Paul's walking, it was funny because we had the prayer journey back in around Easter.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a lot to come to that. And it was great to hear. You just gave me time with God, and I really spent time listening to what God had to say. And it's like, He'll talk to you. He will.
Brother Dale.
Jesus paid it all. That's why He's my Lord. Amen.
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 Well, Jeff, what I'm hearing is that so far, our beliefs, we're pretty solid with our beliefs. Mm-hmm. And that those 10 sessions reaffirmed, helped authenticate that, maybe has clarified some things. So our beliefs are good, but it sounds like what I'm hearing here, where we were really challenged with our practices.
We were.
It's challenged us to look at our daily walk with Christ and our witness in the world and how to do this. So that's great. That's a wonderful, wonderful effect. Anybody else on the practices? What else you got for us?
Well, of course, we got Norma's favorite, the virtues. And I think we're going to be challenged in the same way, but looking at how these virtues play out in our lives. And I think we should. I want to hear how it's helped or is currently helping or, again, is challenging your life and your walk as you try to become, as we work to become, rather, more like Jesus.
What I was really going to say is that taking the 10 of these that we did, the 10 weeks, and dissecting them in one Sunday, to, you know, so well, it helps you to see it in a better light. You know, gentleness, kindness, every one of them. And also doing them in small groups, so they reiterated it in our life. And we hear this all the time. It was so simple, but very profound.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What else on the virtues? We got on each side here. Either side here. Front. Laura.
Ladies first. Thank you, Paul.
First of all, I can't separate it.
Can't what?
I can't separate.
Okay. Okay.
That's why I haven't spoken before. Let me. God is personal. So personal. He's created all the color and all the beautification of the world, everything that we see in our relationships. He doesn't need that. He did that for us. It's personal. Prayer is so personal. And sharing my faith. You got to listen. I agree. I was moved several times to go and talk to my son, who I didn't believe was a follower. He is. And thank you to Jesus that I listened.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
And went and asked. And then from surgery, answer to prayer, doctor's wisdom, Sorry.
That's okay.
One of my prayers, and I think I gave this to Marcia to put on the prayer list, was that no matter what, that we would be seen as Jesus to all of those that were going to be doing surgery, to the caretakers. And God blessed us with an RN that on Saturday just came up and just started talking about Jesus.
Oh, great.
That's what I needed.
Amen.
And I've actually talked to her, and she's actually going to do Bible study fellowship next year. So
good.
It's all been good. So, but I can't separate them.
That's good. Fair. That's fair.
Good.
That's the point. It's all encompassing. They all work together.
When I look through the list of virtues, I'm reminded of personal accountability, because I think that's mm-hmm. what that series of lessons created for those of us together who went through that. And I actually saw that in action because this past week when we were in Branson, when one of us might slip a little bit on one of those, everybody else in the van would say, patience.
Yeah.
Gentleness.
Yes.
Love. Anyway, it was really cool. And honestly, although we might have thought about some of those things anyway, I really think this lesson codified to some degree those things so that they incorporate it into our daily thoughts and behaviors. Not just for other people, certainly, but for us. So Absolutely. It was really encouraging.
Absolutely. Thank you. Now, if you have missed any of these, we've got another one over here with Mike Smith. If you've missed any of these messages or would like to hear them again, they are online at our website, MuhammadChristian.org. And there's just a tab there under Sermons for the Believe
for
series
the Believe
itself.
Series itself, yeah.
Well, I don't want to get anything. Oh, I got John's. I don't want to get none of this on you, so I'll back up a little bit. What I learned from the study is, this is like a revelation, but like I'm kind of stubborn. There were spots where I wanted to think like Mike, act like Mike, be like Mike.
Mm.
That's not always right. Good to have iron sharpens iron, right?
Mm-hmm.
Patience. I can't say I'm going to pray for that, but when it does get trying, it's good to know the Lord is there. Mm-hmm. And when I'd start to open up my mouth, I always had this. You ever watch Looney Tunes when you were a kid and Daffy Duck opened up his mouth and the sound of the jungle would come out? Well, I'd think of that before I'd start to speak, and I'd think, all right, is this Mike speaking? Where's the Lord in all this? That's what study did.
That's good.
That's good.
That's good.
I think about faithfulness, and, you know, we just can't let go. You know, we
Amen.
Give it to God, and no, we don't. We say we do, but we don't. And, God is just still walking with me, and He gives me those little signs all the time, and I'll share this one with you. I could share hundreds, but one I'd like to share with you is I always try to know that there's another Christian somewhere. Mm-hmm. Always try to be in contact. Always try to make wherever I am, when I leave that place, I want to make sure there's another Christian there somewhere, because God is calling us all the time. And I was praying about that the other night when we were I had a watch there. I was one of the guards there at the wall, and we were there from 8 till midnight. And so I'm just praying, okay, Lord, you know, it's time for me to walk away now. You know, somebody else has turned. Brother Mike Waddles, where you at, brother? Walked right up behind me. He took my place, and I said, see, Lord,
there you
go. All under control.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
Man,
that's good.
Good thing. We just have to let go.
Yep.
God has it under control.
I'm thankful He does. Whew.
Paul, over here, Stephanie.
I think Jeff and David are asking for how the studies have made a big difference in this church. And for me, my observation is proof in the pudding. And I am fortunate for the grace of God to be involved with a lot of different people and different studies and different small group activities. And it helps me to come in contact with the lives of people and how they intersect and interact. And I don't think that God has accidents. I don't think that the things that are changes necessarily came about because we stumbled into them. I think in many ways the people have been affected by the things that have been taught, the friendships that they forged, the ways that they've chosen to interact to create observable results. And my observations are this. I have seen humility. I have seen patience. I have seen people who've had to demonstrate self-control. And I've seen love for each other. I've seen caring for each other. And I have seen ministry in ways that only God could be involved in that.
Absolutely.
And your messages are a catalyst, plus the Holy Spirit moving in the lives of people in this congregation. So for me, I step back and I am amazed but not surprised.
That's a good way to say that. Thank you.
That God has chosen to use this congregation and this people and your messages to grow us into being the people and the church that He wishes us to be, because He's not done with us yet. Yeah. And if you think that you think this is only the beginning, I've got news for you. He's going to keep changing us into something even more if we just listen to Him. So it is an observation.
Thank you.
You didn't bring us this far to leave us. You believe that?
Amen.
Well, Pastor Jeff, among other things, what this is kind of saying to me is we've all still got a ways to go. But we're gaining on it.
Yes.
And on your outline there, it starts with that question, then what is our next best step in growing, continuing to grow in our spiritual journey? And let me tell you this morning, the answer to that is come back next Sunday, and we will begin right there answering that question as we move forward. Following that, we're going to begin a series of messages from one of the characters in the Bible that Jeff and I both just really believe, as do many of you, epitomizes living a life like Jesus, other than Jesus Himself. In fact, before He even hit the scene.
Yep.
But what a type of Christ this young man is. When I have funeral services, sometimes I begin by saying, David penned the words, "O Lord, remember me for good." What he means in context of that is, Lord, when you think of me and look my life over and I stand before judgment, please don't remember all the sin in my life, all the rebellion. Remember me for good. Surely there was something good worth redeeming in me. And then we'll go through some of the Bible characters, the great ones, and point out some of their flaws. I mean, Moses, we just came back from a spectacular presentation of the life of Moses. But Moses was a murderer. David, King David, to this day is still revered in the land of Israel as the great King David. David, can you think of some flaws there? Yeah. Not me.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry.
I know when I said the great King David, that threw you off.
It did. It threw me way off.
Yeah. And you can just go right down. But there's one man in Scripture that we look at, and it's like, you know what? There's really not a... I don't say he was perfect, and I'm not saying he was without sin, but there's nothing that the Bible points out that you can just jump all over. And that's the young man who grew into the older man, Daniel. Daniel was one who stood for God through thick and thin, even if he had to stand alone. And his friends that he brought along, or that came with him, They had that great commitment to God no matter what. And we're going to take a look at standing for God as we take a stand with Daniel in several areas. So this week, keep going back through this highlight of those 30 lessons we learned in our Believe series. See where you need and will commit to continuing to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ and in your walk and commitment to Him. And then next week we'll pick that up. Now, having said that, Jeff, let's grab this chair back here.
Oh, yep.
I want to remind you, we have two of these, this one here and then one out in the foyer. But how many of you were here in the midst of all of this when Brother Mac came back and had his sermon on the three chairs? Remember that? Not the comfortable chair, the easy chair. We finally ended up saying we need to be in the committed chair. And I hope these 30 weeks together in His Word and in this study and in our family has helped you move to a point where you'd like to put your name on that committed chair. If it's not already there, and it's rather interesting, there are a whole lot of names between these two chairs.
Between the two chairs, yeah.
And, but if not, maybe you're ready to say, I'm ready to move to that commitment chair. I want to make a commitment to stand for Jesus Christ, to live a life that is like Him as best I can and try to be even better tomorrow than I was today at it. I'm ready to move to that committed chair. We have our silver pen. You